Tonight, James barters gold for bitcoins. Mike overthrows the government with roadkill. And we seek justice for Brad's wife, but not really.
This is James from ShroudPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Cheesehead Jeff Radke, broadcasting this week from Jamaica, don't you know?
Jamaica.
No, this is Couch Potato Mike.
Returned.
Yes, the prodigal potato returneth.
He does. Yeah.
Saturday's a busy day for me.
It's a busy day for both of us, and it's not a Saturday.
No, that. This is Sunday.
It's a Sunday, but yeah, we need a podcast.
I thought that was funny. The one time I'm like, I'm up and I'm ready to go. I'm like, you want a podcast this morning? They're like, can't. Gonna go to a kid's birthday party.
Yeah. Skylar, Serenity's son, had a great birthday party. He enjoyed all of his bazillion Pokemon gifts. And
James surprised her.
Yeah, and I surprised Serenity. It was April Fool's Day, and I was like, she woke up late, and she was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, we're about to podcast. I'll talk to you later. And then, like, an hour later, when I still had, like, 15 minutes of driving or something, I messaged her. I was like, hey, sorry I didn't message you earlier. We were done podcasting, but I'm raiding on World of Warcraft. I can't talk to you. Maybe in a few hours from now. And then I called her. It was hilarious.
You called her from her driveway.
Yeah, best April Fool's Day prank ever, because it was good and not bad. However, though, just in case you don't know, today's episode is brought to you by the Tack Sandal, the most invincible tactical sandal that you could ever possibly get. It will allow you to run on water, and it will stop bombs. The Tack Sandal.
Yes, $99.95, or if you'd like a matching pair, he will sell you two of them for $299.95.
Yes, because it's funny. I did an article years ago on making a sandal not entirely out of paracord, but about 95% out of paracord.
So hey, paracord is awesome. Paracord can hold up, you know, 3/4 of a ton.
Yeah, it's actually on the floor somewhere.
Or like 250,000 pounds.
Right.
Or 15 full-grown elephants.
Yes. So I made that, and I only ever made the one that I did. Like, I took the pictures of in the article, and I never made the second one because it was a pain in the ass.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, and then this new one, I only made the one to shoot the video with because it was a pain in the ass. I made it out of a tire that I found in the woods. And I had to cut it with my ankle grinder, and it was like sending up plumes of burnt rubber smoke into the sky.
Oh, I'd love to have seen that.
My nostrils were burned with smoke, and like...
Oh, you think?
Yeah, and oddly enough, the steel tread in that tire actually ate up like 1.5 angle grinder discs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I can almost see that, seeing how, you know, it's a composite material made of, you know, different mediums.
Yeah.
Because I used to watch this show where they cut shit in half. I mean, the huge shit. And on one episode, they were trying to cut a fucking, fire engine in half.
Oh, wow.
With this rigged up weird, like, chainsaw type deal where the fucking saw thing was running all the way around it. They're trying to cut it in half where you could see the cross section of it. And the damn thing kept breaking because it was going through rubber and aluminum and steel and plastic and all this shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see that almost, but still. I mean, that's just a tire with treads in it. But damn. I would have loved to have seen... From a distance, I would have loved to have seen those billowing black plumes coming up out of the fucking...
Yeah, So, an embedded tiny particles of rubber in my hand.
Oh!
Like, look at those, dude. You can still see, like... Those black flecks, it's like...
When was that? When did you do that?
Friday.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How did I...
Yeah, and then also there are still parts that have tread poking out.
Ugh.
And I cut many parts of my hand on the metal, so buy a tack sandal. no, but the video's funny. I'll put the link to it in the show notes so you guys can check it out. It was a hilarious April Fool's Day video.
Oh, my God.
What do we have coming up today?
I'm not really sure. We didn't do a whole hell of a lot of prep for this, but because of some quick prep work on the Survival Punk Punks page, we are going to be talking about Collapse, Real versus Zombie.
Right. So this came up as a
paint in my beard
post on the Survival Punks group. YouTube user Permanoob Prepper. I'll shout out his YouTube channel. I don't know. I never know if people actually want you to say their name.
If they didn't put it on Facebook, then as a rule, yeah, I've got paint still in my fucking beard.
Yeah.
I took a shower and everything.
I mean, I don't care if people use my name, but you know. Anyway, he basically hit a long post asking about. He doesn't really feel that the collapse will be a zombie apocalypse. Will be like some of the dystopian prepper fiction novels we have out there.
Except worse.
It'll actually be much worse. I will read it because I have it up. So Serenity messaged me. Hi, Serenity. Permanoob Prepper asks, so aside from the great zombie apocalypse we are all waiting for, I tend to think a partial collapse/economic depression is more likely. This would limit the take my gun I have never used and take to Walmart to survive option, which you get a lot of. What if it was just goods and services cost double and your income was cut by half? Fairly likely, actually, if you look at some of the other places like Argentina. More along the lines of the Great Depression without government being able to pull some financial tricks. Think 2008. To stabilize things. I still suspect that all bullshit and we are walking a thin line of not crashing, but whatever. Realistic survival may be much more mundane and perhaps more difficult because we still have to deal with a large bureaucracy making things difficult. My grandparents had chickens in their garage in Detroit back in the day. I'm sure that's not allowed now. How about your family is hungry, but you get a ticket and they take your guns for poaching and they don't tell y'all would just shoot everyone? And don't tell me y'all would just shoot everyone. I misread it the same way you misread it earlier.
Oh, seriously?
And don't tell me y'all would just shoot everyone. Yeah, we kept missing the me. Don't tell. Yeah.
Where was the me?
Right there. Right there.
Oh, okay.
We both misread it, and it's there.
There's no excuse. That's like in the middle of the line, too.
It has a damn perception filter on it.
Oh, my God.
Can't do it now. Won't be able to do it then. Not getting yourself killed. Sometimes I think zombies would be easier than a financial collapse. And I agree. I agree. In some ways. In some ways, the zombie apocalypse would pretty much be the worst, horrible, most piece of crap ever. In some ways, just the day in, day out, just drudgery of it all.
No, the zombie apocalypse, if zombies happened, that'd be much more preferable to me.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly don't believe that a zombie apocalypse could truly ever get to the levels that it's presented in movies and TV shows. It just won't.
I don't know. People, like, if you look at Facebook, you realize that people are dumb as fucking shit.
Yes, but dumb people own a lot of guns.
No. I'm talking about the dumb people that don't own guns. The people that are, like, butthurt over Cecil the Lion and shit. And I'm thankful that that hasn't even happened this year so far. We have other dumb things to deal with. Apparently now you can't even, like, assume people's genders anymore. Did you know? Oh, God, we're getting sidetracked. Did you know?
Fuck it. Just sidetrack all to hell.
There's a term for people who identify with the gender from which they were born with.
What?
Yes.
Why does that need a term?
I was like,
I'm a man. I was born a man. I identify as a man. There's a term for that?
Yes, it's cisgendered.
Cisgendered.
C-I-S, gendered. You're cis.
That's...
Instead of trans.
That's retarded.
Isn't it?
That is completely and utterly stupid.
Yeah.
We live in a fuck... the obvious isn't good enough for you anymore. You actually have to term for the obvious.
Yes.
That's, no. You will never hear me fucking use that term in a non-ironic or non-sarcastic way.
Yeah, I don't see, like,
cisgendered.
Yeah. I would not identify myself as cisgendered. I would say I'm a man.
Yeah.
Because
with a great big
I have a
pecker.
Penis. I heard a funny term earlier about, what was it?
I'm a man to build the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn.
It was a video on YouTube, and the guy was like, this is a white glove interview, but he's like, I only have blue gloves. He's like, so you got to piss with the cock you got. I'm like, there you go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so a realistic.
Where did
apocalypse.
This come from? Where did you hear the term cisgender?
Oh, someone I'm friends with on Facebook mentioned it, and they're like, I was on a podcast, and someone didn't even know what cis means. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
I clicked and read the comments, and I was like,
it's like, that's what you call your sister.
Yeah.
Sis.
Yeah. Whatever. That's dumb.
Or in my case, one of my cousins was nicknamed Sis.
Weird. So.
Yo.
Zombie collapse versus a real collapse. I think we've kind of talked about the zombie collapse.
Who the hell hasn't?
Yeah.
If you're in the survival punk punks, if you're in the survival punk army, you've talked about the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. In that regard, usually the government disappears very quickly. They're overrun by they're overrun by zombies. They can't hold out. They fall. You may have like a holdout in like Iron Mountain with the president is holed up or something.
Yes, because the zombie apocalypse proves the old adage is wrong that the pen is not mightier than the sword.
Right. Basically, all services and utilities are gone.
Gone!
Yeah, trucks are not running. You can't go to the store and buy stuff. Your electricity is off unless you have your own solar, wind, hydro, whatever.
Yeah, some quiet way of making electricity because zombies are attracted to noises.
Right. In a realistic collapse, what we defer...
Could you spell that for me, please?
Yeah. What we define as a more realistic collapse would be not what I tend to believe, and I don't know if I've talked to Castillo Mike in length about this, but what I tend to believe is not a shrinking of government in what we will most likely have, but a growing of government in most ways. I.e., some of the, like, say the government in Montana, which has a population density of like 1 per 100 square miles or something ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Maybe the government in Montana is like, fuck it, we're leaving. We don't have the resources, fuck it. And they just like...
Montana has a government?
Yeah. You know, maybe the government's just out of there. But in places with larger populations, the government doesn't just go away. They become way more authoritarian.
No,
way more totalitarian.
Yeah, no, there's places in Montana where I'm pretty sure if the government collapsed or just left or whatever, the citizens wouldn't even notice.
Wouldn't notice, no. In some of those smaller, more rural areas without the population density to even care about.
The Amish are horrible people.
Yeah, the government probably won't be there. But in places with larger places, the government would be way more controlling than you've ever even imagined. Instead of, you know, because a lot of preppers were like, yay, the collapse happens. We don't have to deal with the government fucking our shit up anymore because everything we want to do is illegal.
Yep.
You know, I want to go shoot my AR-15 in the backyard butt naked while picking my pot plants.
And collecting my rainwater.
Yeah, can't do that. Without the government, I could. In a true collapse, the authoritarian government would not allow none of that stuff times 1,000.
Oh, God, yeah, no. It would be complete fucking martial law.
Yeah, the opposite of capitalism. Everything would be price controlled.
Mm-hmm.
You would, like, monetary controls would go through the roof. You would not be able to transfer money out of the country. You would not be able to buy foreign currencies.
Think North Korea or Cold War era Russia, where people had to stand in line for hours to get, like, 2 slices of bread.
Yeah. And I don't believe it'll be like Depression America where we had soup lines where you're given soup by the government. It'll probably be you're allowed to buy soup from this government-approved vendor.
Like a cup of
with
soup,
a controlled price. Yeah. Like, they'll control the prices. And if they run out because prices are controlled and stupid, then you go hungry that day.
Yep.
I mean, this what's going to happen there. So, yeah, a real collapse as defined by me will most likely be more oppression than any of us have ever even fathomed in our lifetimes. More than what the crazy people that think Donald Trump is the next Hitler, who apparently has gotten in office and spends all his time on Twitter, from what I can see.
That and criticizing Arnold Schwarzenegger's performance on The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I haven't seen him accomplish anything.
No.
That's government for you.
No, he's been accomplishing fucking up healthcare even like 20 times more than Obama did.
Has he actually accomplished anything, or has he...
He's been trying to repeal Obamacare, basically, which is like screwing like a shitload of people now out of their insurance. I mean, not that it was that good of insurance to begin with, but still, any insurance is better than no insurance.
Yeah.
He needs to just fucking repeal the part... you know what? Fucking leave it intact. Just repeal the part where it's fucking mandatory. Where, you know, you get penalized for not having insurance.
There's a lot of things that could be done to fix health insurance, and that could be literally a whole episode or, like, seven.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm still hoping that Trump ends up being one of our best presidents ever, but I'm not holding out a lot of hope for that.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing just seems farcical at this point. It's a goddamn joke. Him running for president was a fucking joke. Him getting elected was the ultimate joke. And him trying to run this country, oh, Jesus Christ. So basically, this episode's going to hopefully not be prophetic.
Yeah. So yeah, we've pretty much talked that the government is not going away. The government will be stronger than ever. We have the largest military in the world. Do you think they're just going to be like, oh, hey, guys, yeah, you're not needed anymore. You can go home. Or they're going to be like, hey, there's insurgents in Tennessee. Those rednecks, we need you to go quell them.
Oh,
and sadly, a lot of our military would do as they're told.
Yeah.
I know personally that some of you guys are military or ex-military, and you're thinking, I would never take an unjust order like that, an unconstitutional order, and you are awesome. But I have known, like my friend Fruit Loop, who was in the military, who went in an idiot, got out an idiot.
Oh, God.
He's still an idiot.
Yep.
I mean, you know, he's a friend of mine, but he's a fucking idiot. The military did not make him a great, honorable human being. Some people, it does. Some people come out changed for the better.
He's not a friend of mine anymore. I think he disowned me.
Yeah, because you wouldn't loan him $90 to pay for court fees that he got for not paying court fees for something.
Okay, A, I didn't have the money to fucking loan him. B, Andrea was the one that jumped in as soon as he fucking said anything about money. And C, I backed my wife up. And D, even if I had the money at that point, the sarcastic, snarky shit that he said right afterwards just ensured him that I'll never do a goddamn thing for him ever again. So fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they were told that
I would go get your package, bro. I really would.
Oh yeah.
That stunned silence was worth it.
No idea what you're talking about at first, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, if people get angry because they don't have food because the government's controlling and they start rioting, they'll send in the government to neutralize those insurgents. That's what they will call you. They will dehumanize you. They will make you the random brown enemy of the world, just like they do everywhere else in every conflict we've ever had, not just America, but every country, every place that had a war going on. You always make the enemy subhuman.
And it's, you know, the thing I find most funny about insurgents is to us, they're known as insurgents. To their own native peoples, they're known as like freedom fighters and heroes.
Right.
Yeah. They're the Robin Hoods.
Exactly. And in some cases, they are justified. In other cases, they are scum. It depends. And I guess it also depends on your point of view.
Yeah.
So there. So yeah, the government's going to get worse. And you've got a few options to deal with that. You can work within the system as well as you can to try to work the system, you know, so that, because the system will always play favors, and you can, if it's your family's life on the line, you can brown your nose a few times, my friends. Yeah. I'm sorry if it's like your kid's going to die of starvation, or you're going to have to, you know, put on an act and kiss a little ass, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. There is nothing wrong with ass kissing, if you ask me.
In certain situations, no. Hobnobbery, you know, rubbing elbows. The system will take care of those people that it likes. It's a corrupt, dirty system, and maybe you have to play it a little bit.
Oh, my God.
What?
Nothing. I'm just cheesing.
Oh.
I'm playing the system and kissing ass and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can be the other. I mean, really, there's three options. So the other way that I would suggest, is to be sneaky. To be subversive and to do it under the radar really well. And the third would just be to be an all out flagrant, you know, insurgent, basically. basically set up a compound and, you know, do whatever and try to fight the government if they come in, which won't work. They're going to hit you with a Jericho missile and you're fucking dead. I'm sorry. You know,
I think the only way to do this is to flat out just overthrow the government. If it gets to that point, everybody's got to band together and overthrow the government.
It would take a lot of us. And even then, you know, yes, we have the Second Amendment right to defend ourselves, and we're allowed to buy and use semi-automatic AR-15 rifles. That doesn't even remotely compete to the power of the United States government.
You know how many weapons go? You know how many automatic weapons go missing each year?
Not enough to even the odds.
I'm sure it would be relatively easy. Well, maybe not relatively easy. It'd probably be kind of complicated. But I'm sure, you know, like, if the fucking U.S. government started fucking going insanely crazy with all this shit and basically had its citizens in a fucking stranglehold and all this shit, I'm sure that we could get automatic weapons as well as anything else we wanted from America's enemies.
Or just the black market. I'm sure a lot of soldiers would be more... If you could bribe them, I'm sure they'd be willing to come up off some weapons.
Yeah, frankly, as dishonorable as a lot of people in the government and even the military, hate to say it, but it's fucking true, as dishonorable as a lot of those people are, I'm sure. I mean, there's Benedict Arnolds out there. There's people willing to sell their country under the fucking bus. I think I just combined a bunch of shit, but whatever.
Yeah.
No, there'd be ways of getting stuff.
Right. So, yeah, working the system, either through friendship, you know, kissing ass, brown nosing, or through bribery, you know, finding ways to more or less legally work the system, you know. Bribery obviously is illegal, but, you know, not directly opposing the government, you know, having them bribing officials in a collapse will probably be a very worthwhile thing to do. However, their loyalty to you is only as good as your most recent payment and whoever has the bigger payment.
Exactly.
So you really can't trust them, but it may get you by in the short term.
Hey, if you're like buying an AK-47 from a motherfucker and you're paying him like $1,000 for it, you think he's going to think twice about the guy that's like, I will give you $1,500 for it and just sell it to him?
Yeah.
No, people that have no honor will sell to the highest bidder.
Right. And, that's one way to go about it. And that is a whole skill set that would need practicing, the brown nosing skill set, the politicking, if you want to go more highbrow, less, you know, dick and fart jokes, you know, using people to get what you need, you know, and sometimes it would be a mutual benefit, you know, i.e., you trade with them, you work with them. Sometimes it's flat-out bribery.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's threatery, if you need to do that. But that kind of moves into the third realm that we're not really going to touch upon.
What, organized crime?
No, direct opposition. we're going to talk, yeah, so.
You mean overthrowing the government?
And in various ways, of that, you know. We are definitely not scum in this podcast, and we will not advise you to be so. So you will never hear an episode on how to be the lone wolf survivalist that shoots his neighbors and takes their food. You will never hear that show on this channel. Unless it's an April Fool's Day joke. Maybe I do that, but even probably not. you know. Next, there are lots of ways to be very sneaky and avoid the now totalitarian government from finding out you're doing.
I think you're underestimating the sneaky sneakiness.
I will never underestimate that. Level 90 rogue, boy.
Boy!
So, yeah, there are a lot of very small livestock animals that you can raise inside for meat production. And some ones you would probably not even find about. You know, sometimes you get on the internet and you go down these rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. And then you end up in a place that you never even knew existed. I found a forum one time, either an entire forum or a thread, on raising either hamsters or guinea pigs for meat. It was a guinea pig meat thread. And, like, different ways to... Basically, they're fat little piggy creatures.
Well, that's the thing. Guinea pigs are considered, like...
Don't say a delicacy. I bet they're actually tasty and not, like...
No.
Disgusting, no, but called a delicacy.
No, they're actually considered food in some places. They actually do raise them as livestock in some countries.
Right. And I've seen some of that.
Interestingly enough, a little bit of a side topic, but there was I think this was on Netflix. Yeah, it was on Netflix. I watched this show. It was like this short documentary, about an hour or so, about basically like huge cheapskates, but in Britain, like penny pinching, shit mm-hmm. like that. There's this motherfucker on there. All the meat he ever eats is roadkill.
Yeah.
Like, he goes out driving around just scavenging for roadkill. I mean, he won't get, like, the shit that's, like, smashed
right,
and
run right.
over. But, like, a fresh kill on the side of the road that he could tell scavengers haven't got at yet.
Right.
And he's got, like, fucking these, like, deep freezers just full of fucking meat. And, I mean, he'll serve it to fucking people at barbecues and shit, and everybody knows what he does.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I talked to a group of...
He brought back pheasant and squirrel on the... I mean, people ate it, thought it was fine.
Yeah. I talked to some basically hippies that live in a, co-op. It's a commune. Basically, it's a modern day version of the commune, cooperative living place or whatever. A lot of them in this place, it was in, I think, North Carolina or something.
Could be finer.
There's this lady that was an ex-vegan, and...
Ex-vegan?
She's an ex-vegan, realized that she needed meat to eat, but morally just couldn't bring herself to doing that. So she actually started eating roadkill, because it was dead anyway. And she could honor that dead animal by not letting it just decompose.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a use of it. I mean, that would actually be an honorable use of something. I mean, if you're like morally opposed to killing, I mean, if she just leaves it there, it's just going to become like fodder for fucking carrion crows and scavengers and vultures
and
shit. And that's if it just doesn't rot in the middle of the fucking road.
Yeah, so instead she eats it, and, you know, that they do really good. And that's a significant portion of their... food they get is roadkill. This wild roots, that's what they were. There was a group called Wild Roots. And you can go
nice
there
name.
And
like
honor
that.
You know, not honor, but volunteer to like live there for a while. And they're primitive, like they start their fireplace only with like hand drill fire and stuff.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Pretty neat people. I met them at a primitive skills gathering many like 2012 ish or so.
I would say volunteering to go there, that would be a great way to get back in touch with, you know, the skills that you would need. I mean, it sounds like, they're...
Fully immersed. Yeah. A lot of them were, like, wearing buckskins that they sewed from the roadkill they got.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they're, like, wildcrafting, and we'll talk about that
I mean, hell, that goes back to the whole Native American thing of not a single part goes to waste.
Yeah. Yeah, they were some awesome people. I seriously did consider going there for a while.
They're people that wouldn't notice if the government collapsed.
Yeah, no, not really. Less cars on the road to make roadkill, but I'm sure they'd get over it.
Is it legal for them to do what they're doing, though? I mean, it seems like the government would frown on that.
I'm sure there's some sort of legality issues there, but I'm sure they're working with it. So, yeah, besides guinea pigs and hamsters, there are... So I know a few people that they raise insects. Crickets are their conversion ratio to make protein is insane.
What do you mean exactly?
So the what you feed them for them to grow and put on weight and be a protein, so they you convert shit food to quality protein, the ratio there is super high. Whereas, like, you know, a cow, you know, it takes like 18 months or something to be maturity for you to be able to like slaughter it. And there's the amount of effort and food you put into that.
So with the cricket, you've got a lot more greater output than you have input.
Correct.
With cows, it's damn near the opposite.
Right. You know, and chicken with fodder and foraging, you can do, I think you can about break even. Because, you know, you're feeding them stuff that you necessarily wouldn't eat, and they're converting that food that you wouldn't eat into a solid protein source.
Yeah.
So crickets are, their conversion ratio, I think, far outweighs, like, pretty much everything. And they're...
Fucking what eat crickets eat anyway? Like leaves and shit?
I don't even know. And other insects and stuff too. But you can get them, like, cricket feed is super cheap.
I mean,
and
shit.
Yeah, you can feed them like scraps and shit.
We've said this many times before, but I mean, there's a whole cultures out there that, I mean, are pretty much insectivores when it comes to their protein. I mean,
yeah.
It makes up a massive amount of their protein.
And humans are perfectly evolved to live on insects,
yeah.
The ones that we can't eat anyway. And God, I need to find a way to import it and start selling them and breeding them and stuff. There is an insect in South America. I wanted to say Brazil, but we'll just say South America because it's somewhere in that South America area. I don't know the country for sure. It's a beetle or a larva. It's some sort of insect. Motherfucker tastes like bacon.
Like bacon?
Tastes like bacon.
Oh my God.
It's a bacon insect.
The Argentinian bacon beetle.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, sign me up for a whole, like, house of those things.
See, and, I mean, I think most people, and I admit that I would have to deal with this, I deal with this, you know, myself. A lot of people have that gross factor about you eating bugs and stuff like that. When you're starving, though, they get a hell of a lot more appetizing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hunger is the best sauce.
Oh, my God. See, and I used to be one of these people, like, I can never eat anything that I once saw moving around alive. And I'm still kind of that way. I like having the disconnect. But there was one rooster that used to roam this property that every time I looked, I'm like, that motherfucker looks delicious.
Yeah.
He's this big fat boy.
Deep-fried his ass.
I know. Yeah, that's my problem. I think, yeah, roadkill would be a good step for my... For me, something
yeah.
was already done. Yeah, as long as I didn't actually see the damn thing moving around and looking at me, I'm fine there.
Yeah.
That's why I've never been hunting.
I want to go. Quail's the last one we'll talk about. They can be very quiet inside and easy to hide.
Quails are small. We actually, believe it or not, years ago, me and Andrea had a bunch of quail.
I would have ate them.
Living in a little cage.
Yeah.
Gave them to her mother to take after, and within 24 hours, they had all gotten out of the cage and ran into the woods.
Wow.
They started breeding over there.
Oh, nice. I'll eat them all.
Now, occasionally, you can hear quail song coming out of our coming out of the woods around here. So, yeah, there's fucking... Yeah. No, you're welcome to. Because I don't imagine it'd be the same quail.
Yeah.
This was years ago. This would be their descendants.
Yeah. There are a lot of plants you can do inside as well. Window boxes, you know... Like, I used to grow lettuce in a window box, and...
I loved your garden from your Ashland City apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Your crops in your yard.
Yeah. It was nice. I'm going to plant some crops this year.
You should.
Yeah.
Hell, Todd's growing potatoes.
Oh, his season's already started, though. He's in Texas.
Yeah, but he's also on a military base with, a postage stamp for a yard.
Yeah.
He's doing it based on something
Maggie
saw on Facebook. It involves two flower pots. Like
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, Andrea saw it too. Everybody saw it except me.
Yeah.
So,
you can grow them in like tires. Like you put a tire on the ground, you fill it with dirt, you put your seedlings in it, you put another tire on top, you put dirt in it, put seed potatoes in it, and then you can stack it, you know, 6-7 tires high.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And then you just basically pull a tire off and harvest I think it's like 100 pounds potatoes in like, what, the square footage, the round square footage of potatoes?
That'd be like 4 square feet.
Yeah.
Between 4 and 9 square feet. I mean, yeah, for that one stack, I love that. Managing to get a hell of a lot more produce out of that little real estate.
Yeah, and that's something you can do. 100 pounds of potatoes in, like, what, 4 square feet?
Well, it's like when I was a kid and I went to fucking Epcot Center Disney World, where you took this one ride that went through this weird, like, a lot of it was hydroponics farm that Disney had running down there, that they basically, all the food that they grew there was served in the restaurants.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they had basically, it looked almost like a fucking pyramid kind of trapezoid thing growing up, and all these, like, heads of, like, lettuce or cabbage or something growing out the sides of it. I mean, where they were getting, like, we get, like, 500 heads what normally most people would only be able to get, like, 50 heads worth of space. Or yeah. Some weird shit like that.
Yeah. There is all sorts of trickery you can do. I saw
fucking pumpkins and watermelons, like, growing suspended from racks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty awesome. I love that place. I got to get back down there.
Yeah. So
sorry, I'm a...
Inside gardening, and then there's a lot of things you can do outside. So there's only so much you can do to hide a garden, and if you're allowed to do it, definitely...
You don't have to hide a garden here.
Well, no, now, but I mean in an apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
A collapse.
I keep getting distracted.
Yeah, find whatever you can do and do that. And then there's a lot of wild crafting you can do and foraging. So go out in your woods, find all the wild edibles around you.
Oh, yeah.
Mark them. Like, I used to, something I like to do is you can make a Google map and then pin all the wild edible spots. Like, if you drive down the road and you know that, like, you know, 2 miles from your workplace on the left-hand side of the road, you know, back in the woods, there's some, like, blackberry bushes. Mark that on your little map thing.
Fuck yeah.
All those little spots. And then that's just, like, supplemental food there. You know, obviously in a huge collapse, those places will be hit more often, but there'll still be idiots that have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some, like, oddball things that, you know, not everyone may know that you can take the cambium layer off of a pine tree, mm-hmm. fry it in bacon fat, and eat it. Not necessarily the most nutritious thing, but it will kind of fill your tummy and take some of that, you know, gnawing pain off.
Yeah. Oh, God, there's nothing worse than a hunger pain.
No.
It'll distract you. I mean, a lot of people get headaches when they get really big. Like, hungry. And the hungrier you get, the less you can fucking think.
Yeah. To a certain point, and then, like, you get in ketosis mode and you become super thought, like, you can think really well. But that will take a few days. And the hunger pains kind of go away in a few days, too. For the most part. But then you have, like, a low-level, like, mild... You're hungry and you think about food.
Life starts becoming one of those classic cartoons where Jorn's walking around, but in your mind, you're just seeing, like, a butterball turkey.
No. No.
I know. You'd never eat Jorn.
No.
I'm pretty sure if you dropped dead, though, he'd eat you.
Maybe. He would just keep slapping me in the face. Wake up, Dad. Wake up.
Dad, you're delicious.
You can take seeds of crops and make seed bombs and basically do guerrilla gardening that way. So if you take a seed and you put it in a fertilizer clay ball, basically, you form like you're a little kid, you're rolling a ball like you do with Play-Doh or mud. Playbo.
That those workout videos that black guy came up with a few years ago, the Playbos?
Yes, Tybo. Yeah. So, yeah, you roll it like you would Play-Doh or just like a mud patty, and you throw them out in the woods, and it's a perfect little environment to get your seed going.
Instead of
planting it and, you know, marking it out, you just make a whole bunch of these seed bombs and just throw them, like, in your woods, in your backyard, you know, public parks and stuff. Hide them everywhere, and then hiding, you know, sneaky, sneaky, harvest them when they're ready to be harvested.
Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah. So there's that.
You know what I think?
What?
Let me ask you this. What is the ratio of weeds that are edible?
There are a lot of edible weeds and weeds that have medicinal purposes.
Well, the reason I ask is weeds are like one of those beautiful fucking things that will just grow in spite of you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you can definitely seed those. And in front of your water spigot out there,
mm-hmm.
Don't kick it over or destroy it. There's this green thing growing out of the ground. If you touch it, I can point it out to you. You'll look down. You'll see, like, right off the path there, there's like this thing with these big green leaves on them. If you touch them, they feel like velvet. You have a mullein plant popping up out there.
Oh, that's cool.
I got excited to see it.
Oh, that's cool.
Mullein plant has some medicinal uses. I'm not super fond with them, familiar with them. But those velvety smooth leaves.
Nature's toilet paper.
Nature's toilet paper.
That's nature's Charmin right there.
Exactly.
Don't squeeze the mullein.
I think I have actually tested that. And
ew.
It is just shy of being gooseneck in level of comfort, but still nice.
Great. Every time I walk past my water hydrant now, I'm going to be like, huh, look, there's James's poo plant.
Yeah.
His poo paper plant.
Poo plant, yeah. So, yeah, it does have some... You can eat it. I don't think it's poisonous.
I don't want to eat your poo paper.
Well, it's not made in poo paper yet.
See, you're planning on wiping your ass right next to my hydrant, yeah. You sick fuck.
Your yard has a lot of plantain in it, too. Plantain has some medicinal benefits. I think it is a low-level toxin. Like, you'd have to eat... Like if you eat some, it's supposed to do good to help your stomach. But, like, anything, I think if you eat, like, a bucket load of it, then you'll get sick.
I think somebody posted this really cute cartoon on the Survival Punk Pucks recently. I can't remember who did it. It was, like, fucking Adam and Eve. And she's, like, sitting there eating a salad. Adam's like... Eve, that's not a salad. That's my underwear.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's like, that's my dirty laundry.
That's my dirty laundry. Yeah.
Because it's another word, a fig leaf.
There are a lot of weeds that you look around, you can eat them. Dandelions make a good salad. Nettle goes good on a lot of things. Sauteed.
They also make good teas. Well, I don't know about good, but you can also make tea out of both of those.
Dandelion tea. I have...
Nettles.
Had that, I think. And you roast the roots, and it makes a coffee-like substitute minus the caffeine.
Well, then it's not a coffee substitute.
Well, just in flavor.
Yeah, coffee's useless without caffeine.
Yeah. However, like pretty much native to all of you people here in America, in North America, the Yapon Holly, a.k.a. Ilex vomitoria, is the Latin name.
You just love its Latin name.
I
because it has vomit in it.
Yes, vomitoria, and it's the Yapoon holly.
Yapoon and vomit.
Yapoon holly.
That's a great idea for you for a Saturday night. Poon, yeah. And vomit.
It's a caffeinated holly tree, basically. The berries are completely inedible, but if you dry the leaves and steep them into a tea, they do have caffeine. And the flavor is pretty decent, actually. I liked it a lot. It has a very, like, yellow in color. Some people are reactive to it, and if you drink too much of it, it will induce vomiting.
Vomitorium.
Yes. That's how it got its Latin name. There's a bluebird outside. Hi, bluebird. You can eat that, by the way.
You can eat blue jays?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think you can eat most birds.
I don't know of one you can't.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, like, some fucking weird feast. They were serving peacock.
Yeah, I'd eat peacock.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the vast majority of animals can be eaten.
I'd eat pigeon. I heard pigeon's damn good eaten.
I mean, hell, even armadillo, if you cook the ever-loving shit out of it.
I just saw an article that leprosy is actually making a comeback because of damn armadillos.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Lovely.
Leprosy is making a comeback.
Hey, well, that was the thing. That I found that out on that episode of Man, Woman, Wild, where Mike Hawk and Ruth England were fucking, they cooked that armadillo. Mm. And she did, and he's like, I'm going to cook the hell out of this thing. He's like, I'm eating that dillo. And she's like, armadillos carry leprosy. And he's like, I'm eating that dillo.
I wouldn't. I'm sorry. It had to be a hella survival situation where it was basically, if I don't eat this right now, I will die. And then I'll be like, let's cook it really well. Otherwise, no, don't ever eat armadillo under no circumstances.
Oh, God, remember for a while there, I had that theory that not even vultures would eat my armadillo?
Yeah, because we saw a bunch of dead ones not being touched. And then we saw some vultures picking it off.
Well, you see, that's the thing. The property that I live on is pretty much vulture nesting grounds. I mean, there's vultures all the fuck over the place on our property and all the fucking trees.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of cool. It gives this place kind of an Adam's Family redneck kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Where are we? I love vultures and buzzards. I mean, they're nature's maids.
Yep. Moving on. So, like we said, if the government cracks down, getting your money out, because the money will be controlled. Like, if you're trying to wire money to another country, not going to happen. You're trying to buy foreign currencies, it's not going to happen.
Hell, you'll be lucky if you can get your money out of the goddamn bank if the government doesn't just seize your funds.
Right. And you have a few options in that case. Bitcoins, it'll be good now for you to dabble in Bitcoins, find out how they work.
Bitcoins are fad.
No, they're not. They're still going on.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of uses because they're not being tracked by the government, and you can buy a lot of things that spending regular money for would be traceable and not so legally advisable.
It's funny, Google lists them because, you know, you can fucking, you know, Google converters and stuff, yeah. Like converting, you know, U.S. dollars to British pounds and what like that. Just out of shits and giggles one day, I like fucking converted U.S. dollars to like Bitcoin. Exactly. Or actually, it was the other way around, Bitcoin to U.S. dollars. They're fucking...
Bitcoin's like $600 or something.
It was even more than that when I fucking did it. It was like over 1,000.
Oh, it fluctuates. Well...
Well, see, that's the thing. That fucking currency fluctuates a lot.
Not that much. It was steady at 600 for a long time.
Go ahead and look it up. Why not?
What's the conversion rate right
see?
Now?
See? Look at that. $1,090.27 for one Bitcoin. I told you it was over 1,000.
You know what makes me and a lot of other people really angry?
What's that?
When I first thought about buying Bitcoin, when I first thought about getting into it, you know how much a Bitcoin was?
Like $50.
$11.
$11?
$11. I almost bought a bunch of $11
Bitcoin. Should have. I mean, oh, God, you'd be a lot more wealthy now. I mean, look at
I'd
that.
I'd easily be a thousandaire.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a hell of a fucking upswing right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you look at the chart right there. 2013, right there, is like $10 or $11 when I was thinking about it.
And then, like, it spiked in 2014 and then dropped way back down for a couple of years and now is at an all-time high, looks like. Well, it was, and now it's dropped. I mean, hell, you can see it's dropped down some, so it was more than that.
Yeah, it was slightly more. Closer to the $1,500 range.
No, but I told you the last time I checked, which was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was over 1,000. I think it was actually more than that, to be honest with you.
Let's see, 600 would be...
I think it was like 1,100 and something when I checked, but I might be mistaken.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Bitcoin are a way to get your money out of the system, hide it, and keep it a little safe.
Or you could do like the Taliban does and just start buying diamonds.
I would more recommend to buy gold and silver. That's another way you can do, and you can use that. And what something that I would like, and I'm thinking I might use the Survival Punk Challenge at some point, very soon, practice your bartering skills. There are... God, I wish I could remember.
That should be a Survival Punk Challenge.
It should be, to barter something. Find someone and barter with them. And for God's sake... Some people are masters at bartering, i.e. the guy that took a red paperclip and got a house with
it. I was just thinking about him, mainly because I have several different colored paperclips on my desk.
Yeah.
I'm like, each one of these is a house.
You know what? We'll record an intro and just make sure you know it, and I'll put it in this punk's group. Your challenge, what was the thing for Fight Club?
Go out and pick a fight
with a
stranger and lose?
The name. What were they called?
Oh, Project Mayhem.
Project Mayhem. Project Survival Punks, your mission, should you choose to accept it, barter something, and then post your results. Like, so obviously the person that
gets something
value-wise gets
yeah.
the best, I will deem to be the winner. Obviously, if you barter a paperclip for a house in the next week, wow, you win, my friends.
Yeah.
I'm talking about something different, more than likely.
Obtain something for something else that's not money.
Right.
Bartering is different than haggling.
And
but I want to hear your haggling stories, too.
Yeah, I have done quite a bit of haggling, because I'm real good at... I'll put on the poker face and just walk away, and they're like, no, come on, let's make a deal. Okay, we can make a deal. But yeah, barter something. Bartering during the totalitarian government... regime will be super necessary because that's completely off the books, especially for people that have skills and services more so than physical products. Unless you're your thing is making... So, like, Mike does paintings now.
Yep.
Mike could barter a painting for... For God's sake, dude, what if you find a mechanic that loves Bob Ross paintings, and you're like, I'll trade you this painting to work on my brakes, bro. That's a thing. You literally could do that.
Well, it's like in the movie Phenomenon, which is probably one of my favorite... what's his name?
Travolta?
Yeah, favorite Travolta movies. At one point, you know, because Travolta's a mechanic in the movie, and this dude comes in, he's like, I really need my car fixed, and you know, I don't have the money to pay him. He's like, yeah, well, I need solar panels put on my house. He's like, I don't know anything about solar panels. He's like, no, but Doug McKenzie does, and I'm just making up that name because yeah. I can't remember. He's like, Doug McKenzie does, and he needs a well done on his property, so you dig his well, he'll install my solar panels, and I'll fix your car. That's barter. That is a prime example of bartering.
Exactly.
Trading goods and services.
Yes, I love bartering, and I actually, by the way, do accept barter for Survival Punk Army memberships and,
yeah, you always
and
have.
Products. Yeah, I haven't mentioned it as much recently, but yes, if you make me a deal in barter, and if, for God's sake, that's a $50 a year membership, if you make me a deal, then that can count towards your bartering, my friends.
Yes, and Matt Smith... bless his heart, he pulled in a favor for me. He got a friend of his from the UK to send him Bovril for me. Matt Smith, yes. Matt Smith. Matt and Angela Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt French. Sorry about that, Matt.
You know, Matt Smith almost got the job in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them as Commander.
I can see that.
Thought they were very similar.
No, but he got me Bovril that I'm going to go pick up. Yes, I'm going on a miniature tour, and I'm going to go meet, like, a couple of members of the Survival Punk Punks. Well, one of them I've already met.
Yeah.
That would be Todd. The other one is Matt and his lovely wife, Angela, Nashville native. So, I'm going to go meet them, and he's giving me Bovril, and for that, because he's bartered his way, he has now got a full, free ride, one-year membership into the Couch Potato Army.
There you go.
Which I am founding right now just so he can have a free year membership into it. The Couch Potato Army.
We should make something about that.
You should get my logo and just put a helmet on it.
Yeah.
Put a helmet and a fucking gun in it. Do I have a hand? No, I don't have hands on that logo.
No, you don't. Oh, no.
I'm just a potato with a ponytail coming out the top of my head.
Yeah, so bartering and paying cash, and that will be your main forms to get around the government control of the monetary system there. And we're 51 minutes. That's how I see the collapse going. Not so much a wonder, like, to be honest here, I'm pretty sure all of us survivalists...
Collapse is a bit of a misnomer, too.
Hope for the government to just go away, but it ain't going to happen,
no,
guys.
There's going to be something there.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take some cataclysmic, gigantic fucking thing to make the government completely go away.
Yeah. And in that vacuum, more retards will try to form retard governments.
Yep. How do you think the governments got there in the first place? Though, I mean, this world didn't start out with fucking governments. Cavemen didn't have fucking governments. No, that's not the way it happened. Always somebody's got to be like the one in charge.
Whereas, you know what, the only form of government that me, as an anarchist, really would like to see is if we broke up our entire world into tiny tribes and had a tribal elder. Maybe even, like, what is it, like a council of elders and, like, a prime elder?
And that's how it started, dude.
And no, I want it to be limited to that, where it could never grow bigger.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
You know, like...
Because tribes will band together, form city-states, which will then form countries and nations, and then there'll be wars, and then Trump will get elected again.
No, like, I will make Terminators to keep that from ever happening.
Oh,
like,
yeah! Small little fucking tribes, but there'll be Terminators.
Yes! Yes. You can only ever be a tribe.
The Terminator was a governor, for God's sakes!
Yeah.
Your plan is so flawed right from the fucking get-go!
And on that terrible disappointment,
it is time to end. So for the Survival Punk Army, this is and the Survival Punk Podcast. This is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
Just give up. They'll always be there in some form. There's no hope. So just like barter some roadkill for a nice juicy orange.
DIY to barter me kangaroo steaks for a Sorrel Punk Army membership. Use guys!
Use guys!